People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
All right, we're back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 4, Episode 9, Episode 109. We've got a very special guest today. If you guys haven't been following my journey, though, I've been out in Missouri right now pursuing a career in sportscasting. I'm from Rhode Island. Today's guest is also from Rhode Island, originating in North Providence, a Duke University alumni. Drafted into the MLB by the Kansas City Royals. So in Missouri, kind of like myself, but with the Arizona Complex League Royals right now playing rookie ball, Nick Conte. Nick, thanks so much for hopping on, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said before we started recording, I love the Rhode Island ties. Whenever I get to connect with the Rhodey guys that are doing stuff big and really putting on for the state. So I always start off my podcast asking everybody, Rhode Island native or not, the passion for what you do, where that all stemmed from. So class of 2024, like myself, so the same age, growing up in North Providence. Just talk about playing ball there and where you grew a passion for baseball.
Yeah. I mean, I played three sports growing up. I played football, basketball, baseball growing up. Stopped playing football at a young age and then played basketball into high school a little bit. And then just decided like it wasn't my passion and I wanted to like pursue baseball because, you know, I felt that I could take it to the next level. And that's kind of where my passion grew from. You know, my older brother, you know, he was like one of my role models and following him growing up, playing baseball, I just grew to love it so much. I was around it all the time. My dad, actually, he was the president of the North Providence Little League for a few years when I was in the Little League. So I was just always at the field, man. So I just grew to love it so much. But, yeah, and then getting to high school, I was able to play varsity as a freshman, which was awesome. And, you know, got exposed a lot to, you know, the college recruiting process at North Providence and also with my summer ball team. I was fortunate enough to, you know, travel around like the East Coast, go down to Florida, Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina, playing some cool tournaments and get recognized by some schools. And eventually the coach at Duke saw me play and loved what he saw and, you know, offered me the opportunity to go there and play. And you know, that was basically it.
Yeah, we'll get into all that. I mean, because the story is pretty cool. And yeah. I know this year yourself and two other Rhode Island natives got drafted as well. We'll get into those guys too. But so I'm from Johnson, like I told you. I think if my memory serves me right, that we played middle school ball against each other because you went to Birchwood, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
Yeah, so that we definitely battled up against each other in our middle school days. But was it tough to pick from playing three sports or was baseball just like your first love?
I think baseball was just my first love. I was always involved in it. Like I said, like my dad was president of the Little League, so I was always at the field. But yeah, no, I mean, I love playing basketball as well. I always just like, I caught on quick with sports like that and basketball and football, but just didn't love playing them. So I was just like, I just want to pursue baseball and just get as good as I possibly can at it.
Yeah, and I remember at the time, you were a pretty big name in the state as far as baseball players go. And, of course, for your position, you were a pitcher. But when did it all really hit you that you could take it to the next level? Because we'll get into, like, the COVID stuff. And I know that your senior year was cut short in North Providence. But to be considered one of the top in the state and to have all those eyes on you at a young age is pretty surreal, especially in the smallest state in the country. So just talk about for yourself, like, mentally, when you realize, like, okay, I can really turn this up a notch.
Yeah, I would say the very first opportunity where I was like, oh wow, like I could do this at the next level was I was at a showcase in Alabama, and this is actually where the Duke coach saw me throw. It's one of like the biggest showcases on the East Coast for juniors going to be seniors, and I pitched well, but the thing was I went there as the only guy out of probably 150 guys who were uncommitted. All the other guys are all committed to, you know, Power Five schools. So I went there as an uncommitted guy. And, you know, I played well and got recognized by Coach Pollard at Duke. And after that, kind of just started hearing a bunch from some pro teams going into my senior year, which I was not expecting. And then like going up until the spring of senior year, before COVID happened, obviously, like I was talking with some teams, you know, had some home visits with some professional teams. They like come and like kind of get to know your family, get to know you. So that's kind of when I realized like, oh, I could do this at the next level. Like there's a chance I could get drafted out of high school. And I think if the draft wasn't shortened in 2020, because, you know, the draft before was used to be 40 rounds. And when COVID happened in 2020, they shortened it to 5 rounds. So, yeah, so I think if that draft never got shortened, I would have had a good chance of getting drafted out of high school. And hopefully, you know, I would have pitched a full senior year at North Providence and pitched well. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. And then obviously went to Duke, and being surrounded by a bunch of other guys who have the same goal as you to make it to the next level, definitely like it helps. It was a big thing for me, like being surrounded by those guys who have the same motivations as me. So that was huge. And then like just continued from high school to college, continued to develop as a player and like hone in on like my ability and just get better. And Duke was a good spot for it. They got really good facilities and, you know, really good coaching staff. So they helped me a ton too. And yeah, and kind of from there, just the goal is to make to the next level.
Yeah. And I wasn't really too familiar because I mean, when I was in like high school and middle school and stuff like that, I obviously didn't really know what I wanted to do for a career, but I always knew I loved sports and knew I wanted to work around sports. But since that point when you almost got drafted in that year, I feel like ever since then, like the Rhode Island scene, as far as baseball players, athletes in general, have just like been put on the map and like just a rapid pace. Like you see, like last year, someone like Alex Clemmy went in the second round. This year with yourself, two other guys in the eighth round. So like that trend of Rhode Island athletes getting to the next level is like a thing, and it's super cool to see and be a part of, and be from that state and be proud to represent Rhode Island at the professional level. But what would you say for yourself that besides obviously clocking in at like 98, separated you from the competition, whether it was, you know, that showcase that you were at, other kinds of teams like AAU travel teams that kind of helped you put on the map? How did you see like your, I guess your stock, like excel outside of you just being a player?
Yeah. Yeah. I think like the one main thing, like you said, was like the velocity. Like for me, I always threw hard. Even in high school, like I was up to 95 in high school. And I think that kind of gets you recognized off the bat. Like coaches, scouts, they see that like, oh, this guy's got potential. But then on top of that is like being able to throw multiple pitches, right? And have them be above average pitches. So like another thing that I always did well was I threw a really good slider and, you know, moved a lot and just like got a lot of swing and miss on it. So that was something that coaches saw and they really liked seeing out of me. But yeah, honestly, like the velocity is definitely like a big piece of it, especially at a young age for me. Like I was throwing hard. That got me on the map, like got me recognized. And then I think that gets you recognized for college. But then as you get into college, it's more so like honing in on those pitches and being able to throw all those pitches for strikes as well. Getting really good at that. Cause without throwing the strikes, like you're almost useless. You know what I mean? Like you'd be able to execute those pitches in the zone. And that was something that later on in my college career, I kind of honed in on and got really good at. And I think that's what separated me as well.
Who were some of the coaches at that time that guided you through that to make sure that you were ready for the next level?
Yeah, I always say like it takes a village. And I worked with a bunch of different people, both at Duke and then in Rhode Island as well. Pitching coach at Duke, Brady Kirkpatrick, he came on my junior year. So the year I got hurt, he came to Duke and he turned that pitching staff around, which was awesome to see. And then this year, senior year, same thing. We had a really good team. You know, we pitched well as a staff and he did a really great job helping develop me. And then some other guys I would say from Rhode Island, John DeRoyan, he used to be the pitching like kind of director at Hops Athletic Performance, so that's like the gym that I go to. The guy who owns it, Matt Hopkins, he's a great guy. You know, he runs the gym, he's a physical therapist. But yeah, John DeRoyan, he was a great help over there. He's now at University of Arizona actually as a coach over there. So it's cool for him. And then another guy, Rhode Island guy, Mason Fioli. He's a little bit younger. He was drafted by the Padres, I want to say in 2020. But he retired now, and now he just strictly does coaching, and he's great at his job. And I've been working with him since after I got surgery, my entire rehab process for the most part. And he's just been a huge help, like always somebody you can just like phone call away, talk to about whatever you need to talk to, mechanics, you know, after a game, talk about what you did well, what you did wrong. He's a good coach as well. So I'd say those three other main guys.
Yeah, and I'm sure those guys carried that that coaching to the all the way to the draft process and now into your career. But outside of coaching, I always love asking athletes like their role model growing up, like a player that you watched growing up, and if you have ever had an encounter with an athlete that kind of like was a starstruck moment for you.
I wouldn't say like an encounter with an athlete, but I think growing up, I used to love watching Dustin Pedroia play. Obviously, he's not a pitcher, but like I used to be a shortstop, like second baseman. I played middle infield and hit, and I loved watching Dustin Pedroia play. Like, super gritty guy, like all the hustle in the world, and just really like cool to watch him play. Especially he's, you know, he played for the Red Sox. I'm a big Red Sox fan, so awesome watching him play. I never got to meet him in person at like a Red Sox game or anything. I wish I did, but like. I think as I've even like gotten older and grown to appreciate baseball more, like I've grown to appreciate the way that guy used to play. Like it was just cool watching him play. So yeah.
Yeah, especially coming from New England and then growing up in those Red Sox eras in the early 2000s as a kid. I mean, how can you not? Like, I mean, I always say to people, like, I'm from Rhode Island, I'm from the New England area, but I'm a big New York sports fan. So it's like that rivalry there. But it's cool to see like those guys and be able to be like, okay, I was able to watch that at that era, like something similar to like Tom Brady and how he's like the greatest player ever in football. But for yourself, again, backtracking a little bit, you know, senior year was cut short for North Providence. You weren't able to play senior year, but still had that attraction with Duke. I wanted to know like that COVID process, having a school like that of that tier still be interested even without a senior year. One, that decision process, and two, what were the other types of schools looking at you at the time?
Yeah, I always tell guys, like, tell other people that ask me, like, the recruiting process for me was super, it was kind of slow the way it happened. I think part of that is also, like, coming out of Rhode Island, being a small state and, like, not having, like, super high level, like, Division I baseball like some other states do, like the Florida, the, you know, the Georgia, those states. But like I said before, like I think I put myself on the map with the summer ball that I used to play for. I used to play for a team, it was L&M baseball. They're still a summer ball team now. And the coach there is great. But they got us down to the, like those really good tournaments where you get recognized by scouts. And I think like at the time I was getting looked at by some other good schools. Like I was talking to a lot of like Ivy League schools because I was super like bought into going to a really good academic school, and some other schools I'm trying to think, like I think the only other ACC school that recruited me was like Virginia Tech, which is a good school. Tulane University was another one, Stetson University, and then a lot of the local schools around Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maine. But yeah, I knew that I wanted to play like at the highest level in college baseball. So it's like Power Five, like ACC, SEC, that idea. So yeah, and then like to follow up, you're asking like how COVID kind of affected everything.
Yeah, like that process. I mean, of course it's tough, but you still had all that attraction. Like, what was that time like for you?
You're talking about before I got to Duke or after?
Before the whole commitment process and everything.
Yeah. So like I ended up committing before COVID kind of like happened. I think I committed August before my senior year. So COVID wasn't really a thing yet, but
So you were well into your senior year knowing that you were going to go to Duke before the season even started.
Yeah. I signed my like letter of intent to Duke in like November of. I forget what year, 2020, I think, or 2019. But yeah, no, my whole entire senior year, you know, I had been committed to Duke. But I think I still had that interest of like, if I get the opportunity to play professional baseball, like I'm going to take that opportunity. Because I think the earlier you can get with a team, like they value age a lot nowadays, especially in professional baseball. And like the younger you can be, the more time you have to develop. And in like the minor leagues, that's what they do best is develop guys, like even better than colleges do.
Yeah.
So if I that was another thing that was like, you know, in my sight was like, I wanted to, you know, if I got the opportunity to play professional baseball, I was going to take it. So yeah. Yeah. And I knew my whole senior year that I was going to be going to Duke. But it still stunk, obviously, that it got shut down because of COVID. Didn't have that senior spring to go throw and get looked at by more professional teams, ideally.
So, yeah, if that senior year were to happen, I mean, you probably would have had a solid chance of getting drafted right out of high school. And in your mind, again, with that as a possibility before COVID hits and then knowing that you're going to be going to a powerhouse school like Duke, how surreal is that feeling? Because you seem like all the interviews that you've done, everything, the articles I've read, you seem like a very, very humble guy, humble athlete. I mean, for me, like an outsider looking in, it's like, oh my God, if I was in that position as an athlete, I don't even know where my headspace would be. So for yourself, a junior and then now a senior, like what's your headspace like before everything kind of happened with COVID once it started?
Yeah, I mean, I was just super grateful that like a school like Duke like had interest in me because like I said prior, like I hadn't talked to a ton of other schools. Duke was a dream school for me. So like having the opportunity to go there and play baseball and also get the degree from there was like a dream come true. So like I knew that I had to be humble about it and not, you know, brag about it or anything like that. And I've never been that way. I've always been humble and like I just wanted to get the most out of the opportunity.
Yeah, and it was always pitching, of course, but you said you played shortstop a little bit before pitching was your main thing. But when did you make that switch and how did you make that switch?
Yeah, so I actually got recruited by Duke as a two-way. So I went there as a pitcher and an infielder.
Mm-hmm.
Got to campus and like I'd probably say like a month into the fall of my freshman year, which is kind of when things start to ramp up in the fall because we do almost have like a half season in the fall where we play like 20, 30 scrimmages, inter-squad games. But yeah, that's when things kind of started to ramp up and I was doing both, playing infield, hitting and pitching, and it was just like too much on my arm. I just had like a few setbacks with my elbow and decided it was time to like kind of hang it up because I knew that my future was going to be in pitching.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a pretty easy decision for me. Obviously it sucks because that was something I've been doing my entire life and had a passion for. But I just knew my future lied in pitching.
Yeah. Do you have like a welcome to like outside of baseball? Do you have a welcome to Duke story that you can remember? Like getting on campus and being like, wow, I'm actually here.
I'm trying to think.
You can't think of like campus. Yeah. If you can't think of campus, think of like baseball, like that welcome to college moment type.
I'd say campus probably like going to my first Duke basketball game.
That was
an awesome experience. My freshman year. I want to say it was like Georgia State, I think. It was like one of the earlier games in the year, but yeah, it was still awesome, awesome experience. And then obviously going to games every year at Duke basketball games is awesome.
For baseball, what was that like? You're welcome to college baseball moment.
Baseball, yeah. I'm trying to think, man. I would say my very first outing as a freshman. We were at Coastal Carolina. It was like game three of a three-game series against them. And I wasn't like too high in the depth chart at the time. Like I was a freshman, like not a lot of the freshmen were. And I think I went in like the eighth inning, like bases loaded, two outs. We were up like one run. I ended up getting us off the field with a tie game, which was like better than you can ask for with bases loaded. And I was like, oh, I'm done. Walked in the dugout and they were like, you ready for another inning? And I was like, oh shit. All right. So I had to go back out for another inning, went out there like 1-2-3 inning, which is cool. And then they were like, you want to go out for another inning? I was like, oh, all right, I guess so. Yeah. Sent me out for another inning, got into a little bit of trouble. And then guy behind me picked me up, which was awesome, and we ended up winning. But yeah, that was an awesome first like debut for me as a freshman.
Yeah, and I saw that season too. You became Duke's reliever, mm-hmm. so like that was kind of like your solidified role yeah. as a freshman, you know. And obviously, a huge jump from high school to college in that short of a time to be in that position is pretty cool, and a lot goes into that. And I love asking athletes too when they make that jump, what that transition is like, and like what the difference in everything, pace of the game, you know, the workload, all that stuff. For yourself, what was that like? Like, and then again, winning an ACC championship too. We'll talk about that game as well. But one, to start off, like your mindset and how you felt things changed so rapidly from high school to college.
Yeah. I would say, like you just mentioned, the big thing, big change from high school to college is like the pace of the game.
Mm.
It's a lot quicker. Guys are a lot stronger, faster. Pitchers throw harder. Hitters are a lot better. That was a big change for me, definitely, like trying to get used to that. And then another thing that I would say is pretty big is like the mental aspect of the game. I think coming out of Rhode Island and like being one of the top guys out of there, you have the confidence that like, oh, you're some of the best around. But then when you get to college, it's like everybody's just as good or even better than
right.
me. It's like it's definitely it takes getting used to, and it's like you have to be able to handle the thoughts that come in your head throughout the season. Like you're not getting some playing time here or there. Like it's definitely a mental game. People say it's a mental game. It is. And that was something that as a freshman, I wasn't prepared for. And I wish I had prepared myself better for it. But I think in the long run, it's helped me a ton that like I was able to grow from it. And now like my mental game is in a really good spot.
Yeah. And that process too, again, we talked about from your freshman year, how things happen so fast. You know, you become the reliever, and you said your first outing, like that really kind of puts you on the map as far as the depth chart goes. Mm-hmm. What's that process of like kind of trying to climb the ranks and really solidify your spot? I guess physically and mentally, like what that did for you and how that process came about too.
Yeah, no, it's definitely tough. Like you're competing against your teammates, which sucks. Mm. Obviously, like you're rooting for all your teammates to do well, but you know, the coaches have their viewpoints on things. And like, if you're pitching well, like you're going to move up the depth chart and you're going to be one of the guys. But like, if you have one bad outing and you don't bounce back well from it the next outing, like you're going to be way down the depth chart for weeks. And it's like, oh, you're wondering when you're going to get that next opportunity. That's definitely like a tough aspect of college baseball. Yeah, you just got to be able to handle like those opinions of others and the opinions of your coaches, and just go out there and trust that you've put the work in prior and you're going to go out there and succeed because you put the work in. And that was something that I've grown to like trust more in as I've gotten older.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously doing that, I mean, competing in an ACC championship, that's kind of like you said, Duke was your dream school. The ACC championship is another goal, and all these dreams and accolades, they start coming to life for yourself. So that season was a great way to welcome yourself into the system, welcome yourself into the university, to cap things off with Duke, well, that season rather. Talk about that championship game, you know, your mindset through it, the pace of the game and how things, of course, ended out when you guys won.
Yeah, so you're talking about my freshman year, because I've got two ACC championships.
Freshman year.
So, yeah, I mean, that ACC championship my freshman year was definitely interesting. Like, we were on, I want to say, like, an 8-game winning streak going into the ACC championship, because we had swept our last two regular season series of the year against Virginia Tech and Clemson, I think. So we were, like, hot going into that. And the coaching staff kind of just rode like the pitchers that were hot. And I think we ended up, I didn't end up pitching in the ACC tournament, which, you know, obviously it sucks, but like we were winning games. So like they're not going to change what they're doing. I think we used our four starters in our four games. And then I want to say three bullpen arms that we used in every single game. And they threw like a bunch. I'm not even sure how they handled it on their arms, but yeah, I mean, we won some nail biters there as well. We had a walk off against Miami, and then a really close game in the championship game against NC State. I want to say it was a 1-0 game or 2-1 game, I think. But yeah, that was just an awesome experience. Like, I had never been like won like a big championship like that in high school, no state championship or anything like that for me. So like that was the first like big championship that I was a part of, and it was just surreal to be a part of, especially like at that stage and, you know, in the city of Charlotte. Like, that was a cool experience.
Yeah, and you guys went back to back, or was that your last season? You guys won another one.
So yeah, my freshman year we won it, and then this year, my senior year, we actually won it this year as well.
Yeah, because I saw in 2023 you suffered an injury, you were out for the entire year. Wanted to touch base on that a little bit, because again, kind of at like the peak, the height of your game, again, working your way into the system like we talked about, climbing the ranks and really making a name for yourself at Duke. 2023 comes, and I don't know what the injury was. I couldn't figure out what it was, but obviously you can tell me that in a minute. But how it happened, what it was, and the setback it kind of gave you, but then the bounce back and how you kind of recuperated from that.
Yeah. So my sophomore year had a pretty down year, like didn't pitch a ton. And after that, went to go play summer ball for the Ocean State Waves.
Yep.
I pitched really well in summer ball. I threw a lot in a short amount of time, but I felt really good throughout the whole summer, and then got back to campus in the fall as a junior and got like ramped up into the fall where we would start playing scrimmages and stuff like that. And my elbow started bothering me. So took some time off throughout the fall, got some injections into my elbow, and then that kind of brought me all the way into the spring of my junior year, where I was like trying to get back into things with pitching, and my elbow just keep nagging me. Like, it was bothering me every time I was throwing. So got some second opinions and decided I think, well, not decided, but doctors told me I needed surgery on my UCL, one of the ligaments in my elbow. And that would be the end of my junior year. So decided to get that surgery done and kind of just use that time to prepare for my senior year and, you know, hopefully trying to get drafted as a senior, which obviously happened. So yeah, so that injury kind of took out my entire junior year. But I think it was kind of like a blessing in disguise for me, because I think if I had my junior year and I was healthy, I think I would have went obviously like and thrown well and gotten drafted my junior year. But like being able to go back to Duke as a senior and then and get my degree, because if I got drafted as a junior, I wouldn't have finished my degree. So I was able to get my degree and also get drafted is like best of both worlds. So I think it was just a blessing in disguise for me. I was super grateful to be able to go back and compete again for another year. And obviously we won ACC championship, which was an awesome experience. So.
Yeah, and of course the recovering process was smooth. Coming back senior year, you guys won a championship, and looking at some stats, 7 games, 1-0, struck out 8 batters. So your senior season, you're healthy. You guys won another championship. Mindset knowing that you're going to declare for the draft after winning a championship. Like, how fast does things happen once senior year concludes?
Yeah, so like we got done. I think after the ACC championship, we. You know, then you go into the NCAA championship where it's
right.
We ended up going to Norman, Oklahoma for a region, and we lost in that, unfortunately. But that ended, I want to say, like after the first week of June. And then after that, start getting invites to like professional teams workouts. So I went to like one of the Giants workouts. And yeah, like from there, it's just. I needed to go pitch more and get looked at a little more by some teams. So I was going to workouts and then played summer ball for the Ocean State Waves again down in Wakefield, Rhode Island, and had some teams that were interested, reached out to me and were like asking me when I was going to be throwing, and they'd come watch me throw. And I pitched really well this past summer for the Waves. So teams really, really liked what they saw. And the Kansas City Royals were one of the teams that were most interested in me. So yeah, that's kind of all how it went down.
So each year after your college season concludes, summer ball is like a big part of getting on the map for these professional teams and working the ranks, correct?
Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
Yeah. So right. Like you said, senior year, you're playing for the Waves again, working out with more and more teams. that process, like after that, I've always like wanted to know, like, is it like they invite you back for more workouts if they're obviously if they're interested, and then, you know, kind of draft day, you're just kind of left like up in the air, not knowing what's going to happen. Cause going in the eighth round, it's a little bit tougher. Like first, second round, I'm sure like they'll know, like either, you know, they'll know, but since you were a later round draft pick, what is that process? Like, what was it like for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Normally for the workouts, it's just kind of like a one and done thing. Like they have workouts and they'll have them in multiple different states. Like the one that I went to for the Giants, that one was in North Carolina, but they have workouts all around the country. But it's usually a one and done thing. And then, yeah, I think you don't really know much unless, like you said, like you're a first rounder, second rounder. Like you don't really know much up until like maybe a few days before the draft. But I had known like what teams were interested throughout like the month of June and then going into July because they'd been calling me, asking me like when I was throwing to the waves because they wanted to come watch me. So I had like a probably around 10 teams that were interested. And then like the top three that showed the most interest, I knew that like, as we got closer to the draft, they reached out and they were like, hey, they talked to you about money. They talked to you about, hey, would you take X amount of money on this day? But if not, like we'd be able to get you on day three of the draft for this amount of money. So they start talking like that as you get a little bit closer to the draft. If you're in like the range that I was in, where it's like late day two, early day three of the draft. But yeah, I think going into day two of the draft, for me, I was like, I was optimistic about it, but I was thinking it was going to be more like rounds 10 through 20, because that's kind of what I've heard from other teams. But the Royals were the only team on day two, which was rounds 3 through 10, that reached out and, like I said, they had a ton of interest in me, so they wanted to get me as soon as possible. And they had an opportunity in the eighth round, so they, you know, they called me up right before the eighth round and told me they were going to take me, and it was awesome, awesome experience.
Yeah, and when they start talking money, obviously, like, your goal is just to get drafted. Was money even, like, an object with those teams?
Yeah, honestly, like, as a senior, I can get into it a lot, but, like, as a senior, you have less leverage because you're a little bit older than you would be when you were a junior.
Right.
But then, like, there's the guys who – I think it's a lot about eligibility as well, because, say, for example, I was a senior with no eligibility left. So, like, I had one more year of eligibility because of my injury my junior year. Yep. So I had a little bit of leverage to, like, say, like, hey, like, if you don't give me X amount of money, I can go back to school and play another year and get drafted next year. But for guys who like don't have that extra year, it's like, okay, you can either take this amount of money and they'll lowball you, or you're not going to be playing baseball anymore. You know what I mean? So that was a big piece of it. But for me, like having the injury that I had and then like not pitching a ton as a senior compared to some other guys that were like in that day two, like of the draft range, I was going to take whatever I could get. Honestly, like, I just want to start this journey, like start my professional career, because I know this is where I'm going to thrive in this kind of environment.
Yeah. And of course, hearing your name, like you said, is a surreal feeling, being able to finally reach that milestone. And again, like we said, long behold, the Royals pick you in the second pick of the eighth round.
Yep.
Along with two other guys from Rhode Island, Jaden Volker from Coventry and Ryan Andrew from Middletown, played at Rhodey, which is crazy too. Yeah. And so one, I guess to start off, draft day comes, you get picked. Run me through your emotions and like what it was like being surrounded by your family, or what that scene was like once you finally got drafted.
Yeah, no, that was an awesome day. I mean, my dad took the day off from work and kind of just spent the day hanging out at the house, like trying not to stress myself out too much. But I was just with my mom and my dad when it happened, and when I got the call and got to experience that with them, which was awesome experience, especially being around, and obviously my dad, like he's been a huge role model for me. Like, he's one of the hardest workers I know, and being able to make him proud like that was just an awesome experience. And then rest of the day, just, you know, had some friends come over and celebrated, which was really cool. And then I had to get out here to Arizona, like 2 days after that, which was a pretty quick turnaround. But yeah, everything kind of happened pretty quick. So
have you had like your welcome to the MLB moment as far as, I mean, obviously not playing yet, but like officially signing a contract and all that stuff. What was that moment for you? Like, okay, now I'm finally here and I can do this thing.
Yeah. I mean, signing day here was a pretty cool experience. Like, they set up like the major league, they have like a two separate locker rooms here in the Arizona clubhouse. They got like a major league locker room where the MLB players come for spring training. So they have like a little setup in there, and then you go and like sign your contract with the head of Kansas City Royals, like player development. That was a pretty cool experience. And then I think also just like being around this atmosphere, especially in Arizona, like the baseball is like a huge thing here. And yeah, I think you're surrounded by all these guys who's like their job is baseball. You know what I mean? A lot of the guys here are Latin guys who come from like the Dominican Republic, and like they're here and their main thing they're here is sports baseball. It's like, this is their life. And I think that's kind of like a welcome to the MLB moment. I feel like being surrounded by just all these guys who live baseball.
Yeah. And what does it mean for the state of Rhode Island in your perspective? I mean, we talked about the two other guys that got drafted with you in the eighth round, but to be able to put on for the state like that kind of prefaces the whole start of the podcast. Like we were talking about, what does that mean for the state's next generation of young athletes in your eyes?
Yeah. I mean, I just want to be able to be a good role model for those younger guys and just make Rhode Island proud. I think that it's in a really good spot right now with high school baseball there, and hopefully it continues to grow. Obviously, we talked about all the other Rhode Island guys who've gotten drafted this year, last year, and even the year before that. Like, I think it's in a good spot. It's growing, and yeah, I just want to continue to be like a good role model and do it humbly.
Yeah, like for myself, I worked with Channel 12 in 2023 in the summer. Mm-hmm. So I was like an intern reporter, and I would follow around Sam Knox at the time. Great guy. He's awesome. Yep. But I would follow him around all these different events. And a lot of the stuff we did was Patriots. But we covered Alex Clemmie, like I told you. We kind of went through his whole workout process. We went through the draft process with him. And I was actually coming from my other job at the time. And it was like, we're covering Clemmie at the draft at his house. Can you meet us? And I'm like, of course. So after I go and work, I come down to Clemmie's house in Middletown.
Yeah.
And Sam and the other intern that he was with that took the station car was like, Cam, we got to go to something else. We got to put stuff in for like the later PM news. Can you stay here and film the reaction when he gets drafted? And I'm like in a house with a bunch of people that I don't know. And I'm like, this kid's about to get drafted into the MLB. And I have the opportunity to interview him right after it happens, get his reaction. And like that whole process was amazing. And it kind of put me in a perspective, like you guys go through so much before that happens. And this kid didn't even play. Like he was committed to Vanderbilt and didn't even play. Like he ran out of high school. So it's so cool to, again, be from a small state in the country. And like yourself, be able to put on like all these athletes and really, again, like you said, be an example for these younger generations of athletes, I think is the coolest thing in the world. But before we close things off, I did want to talk about rookie ball a little bit. So you're in Arizona right now, and by the looks of it, it's the Arizona Complex League, right? The Arizona Complex League Royals?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So one, just to start off, that process of the first few days of you being there, what it was like, you know, your first few days at the club and working your way up in the system, I guess, so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first few days here is kind of just getting introduced to everybody. There's so many people here that are here to help you. And yeah, we're just getting introduced to everybody, going through physicals, you know, exams and all that stuff. It was the first few days. It was pretty slow. We honestly didn't do much baseball activity in the first few days, which, you know, it was fine. But, like, yeah, and then after that, it kind of just got started where it was, like, we were mainly grouped into the guys who got drafted at first just to kind of get our feet wet. And also, all the guys who got drafted, none of them were from, like, the West Coast. They're all East Coast guys or, you know, from down south. And nobody was really used to the weather out here in Arizona. like the first day we go out for practice at like 3 p.m. it's 116 degrees out. And it's like, they purposely put us out there at 3 p.m., hottest time of the day.
Yeah.
And we went out there for like a half an hour and like practice. But yeah, they're just trying to get us used to the weather out here. And then we did that for about a week and a half. They call it, it's like mini draft camp. And then after that, kind of threw us into the fire, and we started playing with ACL, the ACL Royals down here, which is made up of, you know, rehab guys, a lot of Latin guys who are down here, and then some younger, like, younger guys who were drafted in previous years, like high school guys who were like 18, 19 years old. So, yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, right now we're in a season where it's like we're only playing three or four games a week, and they're super controlled games. It's not really like you're at like a single A, double A, or triple A affiliate where it's obviously it's more organized, and you know, it's they're competing for like postseason baseball in the minor leagues. Here it's a lot more about development and getting guys better. And yeah, I think I'll be here until the middle of October. They have what's called instructional league that starts up in about 2 weeks, which is just another name for like a mini season where they just play games a few days a week. And it's really just all about developing guys here. And I think that's a huge thing for me, and then also for the other draft guys who are here as well.
Yeah. So you've been out there for like a few weeks, almost a month?
Over a month now. I want to say I got here 2 days after the draft. So July 16th, I've been here since. So
a little over a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to cap things off with the questions before we close things off, like your biggest takeaway and the thing you've learned the most in only a month?
Let me see. I would say, like, just utilize the resources you have around you. I think obviously at this level, like, we have so many resources. Like, there's nutrition, there's strength and conditioning, there's the athletic training staff, there's people in literally every aspect of this game. That there's people around there that if you have a question, like, they're around the corner. And I think being able to utilize all the resources around me is huge. And I think it's going to make me a lot better as a baseball player and as a person.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I'm excited to see where this career takes you. You know, all the ups for sure. I'm always rooting for you, always rooting for the Roadie guys. So, like I said, throughout the whole podcast, it's exciting. I love being able to still have that Rhode Island connection. It's kind of a coincidence. I was like a couple weeks ago, I was with a few of my friends, and my girl comes down here. She's actually from North Providence. You know her, Maddie Liston. She's amazing. She, they all came down and were visiting, and we went down to Arrowhead Stadium, and right across Arrowhead is where the Royals play. And to be able to walk around that and know that, again, people from Rhode Island are representing and being in these professional environments is super, super surreal. So I wish you nothing but the best of luck, Nick. Episode 9 of season 4, 109 overall on Cam's One Corner. So keep following on all social media podcasts. Any socials you want to plug, Nick, for the fans watching?
Yeah, Instagram, nconti25, Twitter, nconti25.
Gotcha. Yeah. I appreciate you, Nick. And keep tuning into Cam's Corner, guys. We'll see you guys in the next episode.